This episode is sponsored by Artistic You. This week, Marcy is featuring the fourth of the five new colors that she's created for her new yarn-based Castile. This week, it's a gorgeous green named Vivian for British actress Vivien Leigh, most notably remembered for playing the part of Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind. Scarlett used her gorgeous green eyes quite frequently when trying to get her way, and this yarn is just as beguiling. I actually saw the yarn before I read that it was dyed after Scarlett O'Hara's green eyes. I thought it might have been dyed after the green dress that she made out of the curtains. But no, it's kind of a different color of green. It's prettier than that green. It's a gorgeous green color. I know Very Pink is the name of my website, my YouTube channel, but green is actually my favorite color, and this one nails it. It's gorgeous. You can get any of the Castile yarns at 20% off for the remainder of October. Just enter the code VERYPINKC20 at checkout. And I will put a picture of the new Vivian yarn in the show notes, as well as a link to Artistic You and the coupon code. Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
There you are. Casey is a media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing the show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and please tell us where you're from. This is episode 165, and we're going to put things in the show notes. If you'd like to see those show notes, you can go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page and look for episode 165. Casey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We are not redoing this episode. This is a brand new episode that we're recording. I didn't delete any more files yet. I'm not doing that anymore. I have a new system in place. Everything's going well. I just wanted to say that we're having, knock on wood, zero technical problems this episode.
Yes, my cat is sleeping next to me, so hopefully he won't walk across the keyboard.
We're having no technical problems or problems otherwise because I have a sleeping puppy and two older dogs sleeping and technology is working for us and we're winning, Casey.
Yes. Hashtag we're winning.
We're winning today. Well, I am excited to hear this interview that you have because Steven is a very good friend of mine. And tell me what's up with this interview.
So Steven was on our podcast like a year ago.
He's been our only guest, right? Yeah. He's been our only in-studio guest.
So he knits amazing things. And if you don't know about Steven, you need to find him on Instagram. He's got like amazing doilies or lace tablecloths and just beautiful, fine work. And so he shows these things at the Texas State Fair. And so when we were chatting about something and you said he was there to get his prize or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I want to know all about that. Like, why do you want to do this? And what do you get from it? And what's the whole process? So we imagine like a lot of people have thought about that when they're at the fair. What's it like to be somebody who entered something into the fair? So,
well, it sounds like an old fashioned, quaint thing to do. Like until Steven, I guess it was 2 years ago, he put in his first thing, his first knitting project to the Texas State Fair to be judged. I didn't know that was still a thing, you know? I picture like Little House on the Prairie girls entering Texas or to a state fair. Okay, I want to hear this interview.
Yeah.
Let's have a listen.
My name is Steve Self, and I've known Stacy for about 12 years, I think, maybe 13, something like that. And I've known you for a couple, virtually. I think we've only met face-to-face like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, but I count you as my friend.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So you're a lot. How long have you been knitting? Remind us.
I started knitting around 2004.
Okay.
I had a friend that was visiting from Pennsylvania. We sort of went to college together. There was we didn't quite overlap, but we have mutual connection that we overlap with, and she was visiting, and she had just kind of started picking up knitting within the last 3 or 4 years, and I'd always watched her do it and thought, that's really, really cool. I'd like to know how to do that. And then she left, and I just, being a librarian, I went out and got a book, got some needles and some yarn, and taught myself
Yeah.
Somewhat successfully. Yeah. I didn't get really good till I met other knitters that were really good at it.
Yeah, yeah. So now you, if anybody follows you on Instagram, you have some pretty amazing pieces out there.
Thanks.
Yeah. So we're here to talk about your state fair entry.
Yes.
So kind of, first of all, like what made you, is this is the second time you've done it, or how many
years?
Yes,
this is the second year. Okay. Second year for knitting.
Okay.
Long ago, I submitted some jam.
Jam.
Which was not well received.
At the Texas State Fair?
Yeah. So let me just throw this out there. It was cinnamon loquat jam.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's they didn't like it.
About as bad as it sounds. So.
So what made you want to do this?
I'm not sure. We had been to the fair years ago, and I had remembered that there was a creative arts place, mm-hmm. and what stuck in my mind was all the jams and jellies and the quilts and things like that. And so I think I probably ran across an Instagram post of somebody I follow who said, hey, I got this entry into the state fair, and I really hope I do well. And I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting process. And so I just looked online, mm-hmm. how to do it, and mm-hmm. went to find out what the rules were and the process and all that sort of thing. And then just thought, well, I'm not going to knit something specifically for the fair, but if I knit something that I'm particularly proud of or I think is really good, I'll submit it and just see what happens. Mm-hmm. So I did that for the first time 2 years ago.
Okay. So what is the process? Like, how far in advance do you need to sign up? And
well, then...
hold on, let me just say, it's specific to the Texas Fair.
Texas, right.
Every state has their own rules.
Exactly. The state fair in Texas is held, I think, the first 3 weeks in October. Sometimes it starts a little bit earlier in September, like it did this year. And they open up the submission process is, I think, in June. Mm-hmm. The state fair in Texas is held in Dallas, which is about 3 hours north of here by car. And so the submissions tend to be very heavy from the North Texas area. Mm-hmm. And I think a big chunk of the submissions that they have are actually physically dropped off. Mm-hmm. And that drop-off period is like in August.
Okay.
But you have to actually send in your paperwork early. The state fair in Texas does it. I think the deadline was in June, mm-hmm. at some point, and then I had to have it mailed in by a specific date. So I mail it in and include the postage to have it mailed back afterwards.
Okay. So are there different categories for knitting?
There are. There's within creative arts, there's everything from like, you know, model building, sewing, knitting, just photography, all kinds of arts, mm-hmm. and things like that. But there's a needle. Sewing and needlework division, and then there's a bunch of subcategories for knitting under that. So it might be knitted dolls or knitted toddler dresses or baby sets, all the way to adult sweaters. Different. So 2 years ago, I sent in a submission under the knitted lace category just to kind of try it out. And I got second place,
yeah,
which I thought was really great.
Yeah.
It was a table runner. It was a Herbert Niebling pattern, and pretty large and pretty elaborate, so I was really pleased with that. So this year, I thought, oh, I'll outdo myself. Uh-huh. I'm going to get that blue ribbon. And so I spent 6 months of the last year working on a huge lace tablecloth, and I packaged it up, sent it in. At the last minute, I thought, well, I got these other two things that I'm not going to wear between now and the fall. Uh-huh. So they look pretty good. I'll throw them in there too. So I threw in the sweater, a zipper cardigan that I made, and a pair of socks. Mm-hmm. They were really, seriously, just an afterthought. Well, the lace tablecloth didn't win anything.
Oh.
And I got a blue ribbon for the socks.
Wow.
And a third place white ribbon for the sweater.
Cool.
So you never know.
Yeah. So were you nervous mailing your stuff off? Like, is it going to get
really lost?
Not really.
I was a little confused about the process, but there's always a phone number that you can call. And so I talked to a really nice lady. I think her name was Mary Jo. And she was super Texas-y and very helpful and explained the whole process. So I wasn't too worried about it. It came back last year just fine.
Yeah.
I sent it in a tube, which was kind of dumb. So they had to kind of cram the ribbon in the tube. And so it got a little wrinkled and stuff. So I was a little smarter about it this time. But they have very strict rules about how, you know, what window of the time to be delivered.
Right.
They also have rules about maybe what it should be made out of. That might be a rule, depending. There might be, like in Texas, I believe it has to have been made within the last 2 years.
Okay.
Which I'm sure is on the honor system.
Right.
But I've certainly followed that rule, but they have just, you know, different things like
yeah.
that. And then there's also in Texas, depending on the category you're in, you can qualify for this cash prize for like the best made thing. But it specifically says, I don't know why, knitting is not eligible for that prize. So maybe I should lobby for that.
I was going to say, we should protest. Do you win anything other than a ribbon? Do you get any kind of like...
No, just bragging rights. You know, in Texas, bragging rights is really important.
That's right.
That's pretty much it. But it's a fun thing to do. I followed a few other people on Instagram. There's a guy I follow, and I don't know his name, and I'm very embarrassed, but he's in Utah. Uh-huh. He's kind of inspired me, too, because he always submits a lot. And he's always trying to get his friends to submit things to the
yeah.
state fair, and they always win a lot of things.
Cool.
A couple summers ago, we took a trip, and we went to a little little town festival in this little town in Scotland on mm-hmm. the Isle of Skye, and they just had basically like a mini version of what a state fair would be mm-hmm. like, and everyone submitted carrots that they grew, and they had a little dog show, and they had this table that was knitting submissions.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating to look through. They looked like they were just kind of thrown on the table.
Yeah.
But they, you know, different ones won little prizes, and it was just kind of like a little local pride sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I always kind of like that sort of
yeah.
display of here's what we can do in our community, and kind of giving your neighbors some sort of recognition for the things that they know how to do well. So I kind of like that.
So do you get feedback from the judges? Like, do you know why your tablecloth this year didn't win?
Or? No. I have my suspicions, though.
Why?
I think it didn't fit very well in a display case. That's what I'm telling myself.
Yeah.
Is that, but you have to think about that sort of stuff. So yeah. at the state fair, there are these giant glass display cases, and they'll put everything that's like a similar color in a case, or if you have yeah. a lot of things that are Christmas or Halloween themes, they'll end up in the same case. But it could be, you know, from any of the different categories that they have. So, you know, different ones will display it differently. But I suspect okay. that it was just a little bit hard to figure out how do we show this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my story.
Well, I wish they would give you some feedback. And like, did you see the one that did win in the lace category?
I did, and they're very different.
Yeah.
One of the things I've noticed is that they tend to, they're looking, when they say knitted lace, they're thinking, they seem to be thinking shawls.
Oh.
So all the other ribbon winners were some sort of lace shawl of some sort. There might have been a lace sweater in there too. I don't think they were thinking of a tablecloth.
So they're not like doilies.
No. Yeah. There's a lot of crocheted doilies,
too, yeah.
you know, in those categories, but I don't think they were thinking about it in that. But, you know, I did win a red ribbon last year for
yeah.
that, so it really kind of depends.
Yeah.
So, for example, the cardigan I wore was, it was the only one that had a zipper in it that I saw,
mm-hmm.
which for me, it was like, that's what I want a ribbon for, sewing.
You should get a ribbon.
Sewing in a darn zipper.
Right, every time you put a zipper in a sweater.
You should get a ribbon. So the one was buttoned and one was just kind of open. So you just have to kind of look closely at the categories, and they may disagree with what category you put it in.
Yeah.
There's absolutely, from the Texas standpoint, you just send it off and then you get a notice. I think it's by email only now.
Yeah.
They send you a notice saying, here's who the winners are.
Oh, interesting. I thought there might be a little ceremony or something kind of like...
No, yeah, or like stand on a podium and play this, the eyes of Texas are upon you or something like that. Yeah.
Big Tex announces it. So I'll have some audio of Big Tex for our non-Texas listeners to know what Big Tex is all about. He welcomes everybody to the stage. He's this big animatronic guy. Well, cool. Interesting. So are you going to keep entering?
I think so. I think I'm just kind of in the back of my mind. I don't seem to be going through projects very quickly lately.
Yeah.
But so I have to think about the fact is, you know, in Texas, it's not a big hardship to send off a knitted wearable item in June and not get it back until, you know, early November. That's not a big deal. But so you yeah. do have to think about these things will be gone out of your hands for a while.
Yeah.
So, but I'm just gonna keep track of what I make in the next year or so. And if there's something I really like,
yeah.
I might put it in there.
Cool.
My next thing I'm making is one of those that pattern that Stacy posted lately about mm-hmm. the swing jacket for
mm-hmm.
a little toddler.
The little toddler.
Yeah, I'm gonna make one of those for a neighbor, and I'm gonna try to convince her to let me have it back to send it off to the state if it turns out well.
It will, because that's a super cute pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, great. So is there any category for designing?
No, not that I... Well, you know, that's a good question. I haven't looked at it because it's not something I've really done.
Yeah.
But there might be.
When I first went to the fair and saw those things, I always thought it was like an original stuff. But you can,
I did too.
You can knit something that somebody else designed.
Oh, absolutely.
It's all about really your craft and your skill.
No, absolutely. I kind of had that idea too, is that these people were just making out. But that's why I thought knitting used to work before I was a knitter, is people just like spun it out of their head and they're like, oh, here's a sweater. Or here's a thing. I didn't know that you actually looked at a pattern.
Yeah.
I never saw my grandmother or any of my aunt. They just seemed to be doing things.
Yeah.
They were looking at patterns. They were just doing it surreptitiously.
Right. Well, cool. Well, thanks for taking the time and telling us about it, because a lot of people, I was talking to some people that aren't even really knitters, and they were interested in, like, why would you do that? And what's the process? So
it's like, why wouldn't you? It's kind of cool.
Yeah. And in one of the, I was telling you before we started recording, then I started looking at other states just to see what the rules are. And in the California State Fair, they have a thing that says, why should you do this? And it's just, you know, recognize your skills and share with your friends your talents and bragging rights too.
Yeah. It's always important.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's other state, there's not, it doesn't just have to be state fairs. There's a lot of local fairs.
Oh, no. There's a, the first ribbon I ever won was like in junior high with our little county fair.
Yeah.
It was getting reconstituted after being kind of dormant for a while. And my dad was on the committee. And so he kind of ran around our house saying, who's done something in the last year? We're going to put it in the fair. And it's like, you know, being a middle school kid, I was like, you know, rolling my eyes and dad, so embarrassing. But I think I got a ribbon at the state fair for a photograph I took or something.
Nice.
At the county fair.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So there's county fairs, there's regional ones in Texas, there's like a Heart of Texas fair, there's an East Texas State Fair. Mm-hmm. So there's some that might be kind of just part of an area. When I was a kid, we always went to the Western Washington Fair.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of little ones like that. And almost all of them have some sort of creative arts component to it.
Yeah.
There's the ones you send in early, and then there often is like a lot of food-related stuff that happens at the fair, like a pie bake-off or barbecue or something
like
that.
Right.
There's a lot of different ways if you've got skills in those areas, there's ways to let people know.
Yeah, and it also expands the craft to other people to share. You know, people who aren't knitters go through the booths and they're like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know people still knit.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to share our craft. So.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, thanks again.
Oh, you're welcome.
Good luck next year.
All right. Thanks.
This episode is sponsored by Care Of. What is Care Of? Care Of is a wellness brand that makes it easy to get the right vitamins, supplements, and protein powders for your specific needs. Whether you're looking for glowing skin, more energy, better sleep, or something to support your health and fitness routine, Care Of helps you build and stick with a plan that's right for you. Fall is a great time to get some new goals, get back into a healthy routine, and reprioritize yourself. With Care Of, you take an online quiz that tells you exactly what you need. You take a short 5-minute quiz and answer easy questions about your diet, lifestyle, and health needs. And it's a fun quiz. They make it fun online with the graphics and everything. It should be easy and convenient. Your health should be easy and convenient. Care Of is personalized for you, even down to the packaging. The vitamin packs and protein tubs say your name on them with a little quip, a little quote, or a little motivational thing for the day. I love it. And they also care about the environment because their new compostable packs meet the same quality and safety standards, and they have a ton of info on how to compost them on their website. Here in Austin, we just started a composting program. I can just throw them in the bin with the food waste. They also have vegan and vegetarian supplement options. And I always say I'm a longtime Care Of customer. So easy for me to take the vitamins that I need. And because there's a little pack every day, I'm sure to take it every day. In the past, I've tried to take vitamins, and when I run out, I don't bother buying more or whatever. You know, I feel like I'm committed, but I just don't do it. But Care Of arrives on my doorstep when I need it, and the next month's pack's right there. Eat my breakfast. Take my vitamins after I eat my breakfast every day. You can give them a try for 50% off. 50% off your first Care Of order. Go to takecareof.com and enter code VERYPINK50. That's 50% off your first Care Of order. Go to takecareof.com and enter VERYPINK50. And I will have a link to Care Of and the promo code in the show notes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Casey. Thank you very much, Stephen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if every state has a state fair, but I know they're all over the country.
Yeah.
And that's something that people can do with their knitting stuff.
Yeah. So find out what the whole entry process is and go for it.
And put it on Instagram.
And tell us about
it. We can see it. Yes. Yes. Well, we have time to magically turn some knitting questions into knitting answers. Casey, if you feel like reading after all that talking with Stephen.
Sure. Hi, Casey and Stacy. I hope you can help. I was making my first hat to go with a cowl and realized my cast-on wouldn't work for a hat. I went to your cast-on video, Stacy, and used the German cast-on that was supposed to be stretchy. It's not. It took me several tries to master the cast-on, and I believe I'm doing it right. Would yarn type hinder the stretchiness? I'm using Bernay blanket yarn, which is a chenille type yarn. It's super soft and warm, which works wonderfully here with our frigid winters. Should I use the Rib K2P2 instead? Your video stated it wasn't very strong, so I was hesitant to use it. Thank you both for all your help and a fun podcast. Knit, sip, repeat. Carrie from New Hartford, New York.
Hi, Carrie. Okay, I think what's happening here is the yarn choice and the cast on. And she's using a chenille type yarn, which, Casey, am I right that that's kind of a thick, thin, slubby yarn?
Yeah, I think it's bumpy. And I think it's acrylic.
Right. And okay, first of all, the German twisted or old Norwegian cast on is the standard cast on that I use for anything that needs more stretch. And it absolutely is a stretchy cast on. It looks great. It's stretchy. And it is, I mean, that's the one I use every single time, without fail. It's my go-to, right? For when I need a cast on with stretch. So the fact that it's not stretchy, I'm thinking is the yarn. And it's probably because the bumps in the yarn are keeping the yarn from sliding the way that a smooth yarn would and keeping it from being a stretchy cast on. That is my guess, because I've never had the German twisted cast on not be stretchy. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, Casey?
Yeah, I think it's yarn. And if it's acrylic based, acrylic is not as stretchy.
Right. Yeah. Right, because acrylic doesn't have the give that wool's going to give. But that cast on should really still be stretchy regardless of the fiber type. I think it's the bumps in the yarn. Mm. Yeah. And she's saying, she's asking, should I use the Knit 2 Purl 2 cast on instead? And I am thinking that the bumps in the yarn, the reason that I think that all of this is happening in the first place, I think those are going to, that's going to keep any cast on from really being stretchy. Mm-hmm. And she might, I'm thinking like, no, she should try the Knit 2 Purl 2 and see, because it is a less structured cast on and that might be just enough mm-hmm. to make the cast on stretchy for her. I don't know. I'm not familiar with using yarn like this. And so I haven't tested out a lot of stuff myself. This is me just putting my best guess towards it. Do you have any advice for a case? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just don't know that that's the best yarn for something Maybe. Like that. Because I'm she looking at it, I wonder if it's the kind, because sometimes, you know, when you get like a textured yarn, it has kind of almost like a cord through the middle of it that's, or pieces.
Right, the carrier, mm-hmm. yeah.
So I'm wondering if it has that too.
It might. She might have to experiment with it, mm-hmm. but I've given her my best help from just my experience.
All right, how about one more?
I think we probably have time for a couple more. Well, let's see.
Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I was just watching a couple of your videos close together in time, one on the flexi flips and one on the 9-inch circulars. I, too, have been wanting to try the flexi flips, but have been unable to find them locally or online. Suddenly, it popped in my head to wonder whether one might be able to use 3 9-inch circulars in the same basic manner as the flexi flips. Might they work in a similar way to allow knitting socks with only 2 needles and holding the stitches? And if the 9-inchers are $8 a piece, thinking of your favorites, the Chaigu, the price for 3 would come out about the same as 25 for the set of flexi flips. I would cast on and try this and find out myself, which would likely answer my question. But as I say, the flexi flips are hard to get. What do you think? Warmest regards, Peggy in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Hi, Peggy in Kalamazoo. Yes, you can use 3 9-inch circulars the same way that you would use flexi flips or flexible double points, since there are other brands, flexi flips or Crazy Trio is the brand of Addy needles. So we'll just call them flexible double points. And you can do that. The difference is that the 9-inch circulars are going to have a significantly longer cord than the flexible double points. And so you're going to have a lot flopping around. That's not something that I like. I like things to be as tidy as possible. That's why I don't like knitting things on two circulars. I don't really like magic loop. I like things to be as short and not flopping around as possible when I'm knitting. So that there's that to keep in mind. But if that doesn't bother you, certainly can do it. She mentions that the flexi flips are difficult to find. I think they're getting easier and easier to find. Addy's done a better job of like sending a lot of them to the US, and so local yarn shops have them, online shops have them. They're easier to find than they were before. But then there's also the Chiaogus. They are selling the needle tips. You can buy 3 needle tips and then a package of 3 little short cords. So it's kind of an interchangeable set. You can put those together. And I actually have a video coming out on those pretty soon. I keep putting out videos on flexible double points and flexi flips, and I keep getting requests for more. So I am right now designing socks that are designed and knit entirely on flexible double points. That's the sock pattern that I'm hoping to get out before the end of the year. And of course, they can be knit on other needles, and of course, you can use your needles to knit other things, but this is just something that people are requesting. I think they want to follow along a tutorial, like from beginning to end, using the flexible double points. Should I explain what flexible double points are, or do you think people are familiar with those by now?
I think you should.
Okay. Well, for regular double-pointed needles, you know, they're made of wood or metal. They're not flexible at all, and we can knit little small circumference circles with them, you know, like for socks or for gloves or for mittens or whatever. And the flexible double points, you only need 2 needles and an empty one to knit with, because that bend in the middle lets you knit a small circumference without having an extra needle. And it happens to be that using these new needles, this new design is very comfortable. People really like it. I really like it. I think as a knitting teacher, I look at it as kind of the best of double points and the best of magic loop, better than both of them together in one thing. And I'm really enjoying using them. But people, because it is such a new thing, people are having a hard time conceptualizing exactly how these needles are going to work on different things, you know, different projects, or knitting the toe of a sock or heel of a sock or changing colors, whatever. And that's why I want to do a whole project with them. I do have 2 videos out on flexi flips, and we can link to those 2 videos in the show notes. Mm-hmm. But like I said, every time I do anything with flexi flips, I put out a video or post something on social media or whatever, I just get more and more requests for more videos on these needles. I think people are just really curious about them, but it's also an investment. Because it is, you know, a new thing. It's like when we all had to decide to stop buying cassette tapes and start buying CDs.
CDs? It's
like, yes. CD. They were talking a long time ago, Casey.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I had like my favorite Stray Cats cassette, and it's like, do I also buy it on CD now? I'm going to own both of these. And it's kind of the same thing with knitting needles. Like, I have this, you know, 2.5 millimeter sock needles that I love so much. Am I really going to buy another set?
For the Stray Cats.
Is that
cats,
a good analogy? Yes. Stray Cats. It's just like that. Well, I spent a longer time answering that question than I thought I was. So that is it for this week. Do you have anything else, Casey?
I don't.
Okay. Well, if people want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com. That's the letter K and the letter C.
Are you updating that?
I haven't lately. I have to think of something to say on there. So I'll think of something to say.
Think of something to say. Yeah. And if you aren't, even if you aren't doing that, you are updating to Instagram with your knitting and adventures and everything else.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to find me online, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel and verypink.com. And that is it for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.